Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final live right here on the early line on this Thursday. He is Donnie. I am Ben. There is plenty to break down. DRS across the pond at the Open Championship. Round number one already underway, and our three guys now tied atop the leaderboard in Northern Ireland, all at four under, also in the clubhouse. Matt Fitzpatrick, the third to get to four under alongside Jacob Skov Olesen and Haotong Lee. Matt Fitzpatrick was one of the early leans on the early line from our guest that joins us up next, our guy, Keith Stewart. So, of course, we will need Keith's insight for the remainder of this opening round, what the weather is looking like at Royal Portrush, and Rory McIlroy about to tee off to start his play at the 153rd Open Championship in his home of Northern Ireland, DRS, in just under 10 minutes' time.
By the way, do the crowds get as excited for the Open when they're at the Open Championship? It seems like it's a much more tame, like, four rounds, if you will, like the smattering of, you know, cheers and claps, as opposed to, like, in the United States, it feels like you have the more of the roars to me, or that's just the way the mics are always
you
set up over
Brits
there where you can't really... Yeah, or maybe there's the microphones, because sometimes you watch a... like an NFL game like Fox compared to CBS, sometimes, oh, that stadium sounds really loud. Maybe you can't have the same microphone like landscape when you expect like wind, a lot of wind and a lot of, you know, rain in the forecast, as opposed to like the United States where it's like, hey, it's 85 degrees with 5 mile-an-hour winds blowing at Augusta at that point. So I always find it interesting where the landscape is different, obviously, but just the actual broadcast of the total is a little bit different for me.
Yeah, you know, it's run by the RNA. I'm not sure if it's different because they are across the pond, and maybe it's more reserved golf claps at the homes of golf. Northern Ireland, not necessarily. Royal Portrush has only hosted the Open now twice in the last seven decades or so. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like Irish people, it's 64 degrees in July right now, and it's like rainy and windy. It looks awful.
How could you
all they
there?
Do is drink Guinness. You would think they would be a little bit rowdy in the grandstands all around Royal Portrush. They've got a stadium hole par three this week, right? So you know what? I think it's just because we're not watching. I'm sure the crowds are going nuts as we speak.
You know what? You know where the next, they should build a golf course around like Stonehenge over there. Like, wouldn't you love to see the U.S. Open go to Stonehenge? You have to hit the golf ball around like the, you know, the things in the middle and all that good
the
stuff.
US
like,
US Open at Stonehenge.
Creative over there. Yeah, come on, man. The British,
I mean,
and by the way, can we call it the British Open? Like, why is that like a faux pas? Come on.
No, man.
Why not?
It is the
U.S.
Open,
Open British Open. The only Open championship for me, Ben, obviously, is in the United States, and it ain't the U.S. Open. And by the way, the U.S. Open in tennis, that should be thrown out the door. That's Goff's event. That's Goff's event. Like, U.S. Open,
for
change
sure.
your name. Like, remember I the mean, WWF? It was like, hey, could be the Wild Worldwide Federation, or it could be the Wildlife Federation.
Yeah.
Like, bring the WWF back as well for wrestling. I mean, come on now. Let's get it right here.
Listen, I'm just going to say, when you type in like U.S. Open to a search engine to Google,
yes,
it only comes up with golf results. It never
Good.
Brings you who
they
won tennis. Just want that noted.
I mean, who
By
makes
the way,
more
you might
money?
Be
tennis
seeing a name
WNBA.
There. T4 right now, DRS. 3 under par alongside another Englishman in Matthew Jordan. Sadom Kalkinjana of Thailand is 3 under through 10. And I appreciate our producer extraordinaire, Joe Frizzo, for finding out that pronunciation. Sadom Kalkinjana, 3 under par through 10 holes.
By the way, you know, it's funny. We look at the top of the leaderboard, but I got equally excited when I just scroll down, like day one, guys like 10 over par, like KJ Choi. I think he used to be a baseball player now playing golf over there, struggling over at 10 over par at this point right now. So that's what I like to take. Like, give me the bottom. Give me the Guido Migliozzoli out here at six over. I mean, where's that guy going? He's going home early.
Come on, he's heading right back to. Oh, by the way,
great name.
Wyndham Clark might need some anger management. He's 5 over through 14 right now.
Oh, no.
Near the very bottom of the leaderboard. All right, DRS. One of the hot topics this week, of course, in a month of football, getting ready for football, Hall of Fame game 2 weeks from this Thursday has been that top Thursday, 10 quarterback list all around the National Football League. The execs, the coaches, the scouts voting on the best 10 quarterbacks in the NFL at this current juncture. We have talked about the best. Patrick Mahomes won that vote. We have talked about who should be fifth best. Jalen Hurts won that vote, and we gave our backing to that idea from the people yesterday. But Donnie, we have basically said that Patrick Mahomes should be in a peg of his own at the top.
Yeah.
That's widely known around the NFL. We think that Jalen Hurts should be number five. Most of the public, more than 40%, agreed with that idea yesterday. You're going to have a couple of naysayers. We understand that in this great debate. And Donnie, we have basically said that 2 through 4, you could kind of shake out whatever way you want. Right now, based on those votes from the coaches, the scouts, and the execs, Josh Allen is 2, Joe Burrow is 3, and Lamar Jackson is 4. We said, all right, however you want to shake it, 2 through 4 makes some sense. They're in kind of their own tier among everybody else, 5 through 10. But then we got to thinking, who is truly by himself that second best QB in the NFL? That's what we wanted to hear from you and Fade the Public. Who is the second best quarterback in the National Football League? At Sports Grid on Twitter, your 4 options, that top 4: Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. The leading vote getter at Sports Grid on Twitter, not the top 10 list that we just talked about. Josh Allen, 48% DRS, running away with it, which is the way the voting and that poll was as well. Josh Allen, our reigning NFL MVP, at 48%. Sports Grid on Twitter, second best QB, according to the public.
But who included Patrick Mahomes in this poll? Like, why was he? What's he doing in the poll if we figure he's the number one quarterback? So people are just going to hate on Mahomes and maybe vote him as number 2 because they don't like him as number 1. So I do think it skews it just a little bit, because I think more votes would go in a certain direction. Like, Josh Allen, 48%, that's the correct answer. Like, if you take Patrick Mahomes off that list and say, which quarterback do you want for the next year? Josh Allen by a wide margin. I almost think that, like, that number from Mahomes is taken a little bit away from Josh Allen, because more votes would have went towards Josh Allen at that point. I like Burrow, fantastic. I like Lamar Jackson, fantastic. But for me, the people once again got this correct. Josh Allen at 48%, that is the correct answer. He hasn't won a championship yet. I get it. But if you ask general managers and just players or fantasy leagues or whatever have you, Josh Allen is the second best quarterback right now in the NFL.
Again, the criteria for what went into the voting for the top 10 quarterbacks has not been defined. So what criteria you all use could be very different. Is it Super Bowls? Is it playoff success? Is it individual accolades? Because they all kind of share some distinction the other one doesn't. Joe Burrow hasn't won an MVP award. Josh Allen has. But Lamar Jackson has 2 and was the first team All-Pro QB selection last year, which is a rarity. The first time in more than 2 decades, the quarterback who won first team honors was not named the MVP. Josh Allen's second team all pro. Patrick Mahomes, of course, who is number 1, but included in this poll just in case people do not agree with the number 1 distinction, has more than any of these guys. But Joe Burrow has played in a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow has played in multiple AFC championship games. Lamar Jackson only has 1. Josh Allen has 2. Joe Burrow is the only guy to beat Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. Allen is 0-4. Lamar Jackson is 0-1. So you have all of those distinctions, DRS, between these 3 guys. Still give the nod right here, right now, to Josh Allen. And then probably Lamar Jackson 3, and then Joe Burrow 4. Plenty more here on the Early Line. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday. It is our fourth and final major of this year in golf. It is the oldest major championship of them all, the Open Championship. Round number one firmly underway. The late tee times off right now at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, including the Northern Irishman in Rory McIlroy. Joining us here to break down what he has seen so far in the opening 18 holes for everybody and what we will see the remainder of the morning and the afternoon here stateside, our guy Keith Stewart joins the early line for a second consecutive day. Keith, you were here yesterday for two segments to get us set for the 153rd Open Championship. You are here once again as round number one is now underway.
Ben, Donnie, it's a pleasure to be with you. It's about midday for me. I've been up since, maybe 4 a.m., enjoying the coverage, and things are playing out. Things are playing out, much like we talked about yesterday. I'm excited about the way this tournament is starting.
Yeah, Keith, you really should be, because each and every time here on the early line, whether it's a major championship or any week on the PGA Tour, we end with the early leans on the early lines. The golfers you like, either outright top 10, top 20, to have a good week on these significant stages. Two names that you mentioned to us yesterday, John Rahm, who had the third best betting price entering the Open. He's one under through 15. T10 at this moment, a good start for the Spaniard in the deeper shot. Matt Fitzpatrick, who is currently in the clubhouse and tied atop the leaderboard alongside two others at four under par. So, Keith, what have you seen so far out of two of your early leans at the Open Championship?
Well, I love the way that both have started. Now, Matt Fitz, a little bit of luck on 16, the hole there, the very tough par three. He chipped in from next to the green. So maybe he's only three under, maybe four under, but definitely a steady start and what I expected coming out of Scotland. I mean, the guy's just been ball striking it. The putter popped a little bit today. I mean, he could have been even a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse. But those guys this morning have played through some tough conditions. Everybody was worried about the wave advantage. This afternoon, the rain has moved out. The wind is only blowing in that 12 to 15 mile an hour land, and the temperature's in the mid 60s. I mean, that's pretty much summertime in July there in Northern Ireland. So Rory and Victor and the guys this afternoon, they're going to have a chance to score a little bit, and we've seen some scoring. Now, as far as Rahm goes, I love the start. He's at 12 of 15 greens in regulation, and if you look at the guys that are in that top like six, the top nine, 10 names on the leaderboard, those guys are the guys that are leading in strokes gained approach. Not necessarily putting, not around the green, and not off the tee. And we talked about this yesterday. You have got to be an iron killer this week. These are small greens in the wind, and those guys are already leading. So you know what? I love our leans because those are the types of guys we picked.
Let's take a look at this from the American standpoint. You'd say to yourself, you know what? Scottie Scheffler is supposed to be up there in the lead. Well, he just birdied a hole to get into the top five as a tie with two under. But how about the next two Americans, Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson at this point? Sometimes the Open Championship, Keith, actually opens the door for like, you know what? I didn't expect some of these guys to do this, but it seems like this tournament more than any other will let you in the door and compete. Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson, technically in the top 10.
Donnie, I'll call you. I'll throw you a couple Ryder Cup favorites from the other side. How about Lee Westwood and Sergio Garcia being up there?
Look at it.
Right? Those four guys. I mean, again, we get these guys that are a little later in their career, but why? Yeah. They're seasoned veterans. You have to be creative. You have to have seen these types of shots before. You can't be rolling up like Ben Griffin and think, hey, you know, I'm just going to figure this thing out today. Or Taylor Pendrith in his first Open Championship. Look at the leaderboard last year. We had a ton of crafty veterans between Billy Horschel and Justin Rose and Shane Lowry, and it's going to happen again. Now, those guys and their nerves, they may fall away to Ben's point, you know, come Sunday, but for right now, you're going to see those names pop. And again, what do those guys do really well? Ricky Fowler, Sergio Garcia, and Lee Westwood made careers out of hitting greens in regulation. You got to run with these guys right now, because hitting these greens over the course of the next couple of days is going to be the most difficult challenge. Look at those pins today.
Yeah.
Lee Westwood had to qualify for the Open. The Englishman, two under par in his opening round, has never won a major, Keith. Right now, he is top five, as is Scottie Scheffler, our pre-tournament favorite at plus 450. Anytime Scheffler is even decent, that price drops throughout a round that he is on the course. He is now a plus 300 live favorite to win the Claret Jug. Of course, all eyes, Keith, on the man from Northern Ireland, who holds the course record at Royal Portrush with a 61 that he shot as a teenager. Rory McIlroy on the course right now in his opening hole. A drive into the thick stuff, but a pretty good second shot approach, hacking it out. He is greenside as we speak. The odds profile on Rory entering this week at Royal Portrush: top five, plus 175. Top 10, minus 110. And as he started today, 7-1, the second best price pre-tournament. You told us yesterday, for Rory not to make an 8 on his first hole of the championship would be success. He seems to be in a good spot, Keith, right now for improvement, open over open. What's your prognosis on McIlroy the remainder of this week near his hometown?
I feel like of the big three, he's the biggest threat. He is really seeming to be, like, he's accepting, he's embracing all of the coronation that is happening from these people. They're saying right now, this will be the largest attended sporting event ever in Northern Ireland. And who do you think that they're coming out to see? They're coming out to see Rory, not Shane Lowry, not Patty Harrington. They're coming out to see Rory. And the fact of the matter is that with a second run at this, I mean, I look at that minus 110 for a top 10 right now. The minute I hang up from you guys, I'm going to hit that as hard as I can. I mean, this guy is going to be a factor. He got through the nerves of the first tee shot, and you're going to see him, and his local knowledge is just going to start to take over as the golf course as the golf tournament evolves. I love the position he's in, and I love the mindset he's in. Forget Scotty and all this. I don't know what I'm doing out here. Rory knows what he's doing. He's doing it for his country.
70.5, the round one score, the over-under for Rory McIlroy, should be noted, par 71 at Portrush. So to shoot a 70 and go under, which I bet with some plus money, would be a one-under par opening 18 for Rory McIlroy. What a year it's been, right? Captured the career Grand Slam at the Masters, his first green jacket, his first major win in 11 years. Could he take two of the four this season? Keith, we appreciate the time as always this week, man. Enjoy the rest of the Open Championship and a great afternoon nap coming your way on this Thursday.
Set your alarms. We're doing it again tomorrow.
Oof. Yes, we certainly are, Keith. We appreciate it as always. One final day at the All-Star break in MLB. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You have made it. Donnie has made it. The end of week, the end of Hell Week. It is our final few moments here. Not really. We've got about 30 minutes. But our final few moments on the early line in our third and final hour of this Thursday. The last day of the Major League Baseball All-Star break. The only live action we really have in the sporting landscape today is the Open Championship. The WNBA at the All-Star break. All-Star festivities beginning on a Friday in Indianapolis. So, on this final chance to reset and look at where Major League Baseball goes from here. In a few weeks, we'll have the trade deadline. Those teams that could be buying or selling ahead of the deadline. The heavy hitters and those front runners, of course, we expect to make some splashes. Some disappointing teams, might they be looking to sell off some pieces. And then, before you know it, it's August and it's September, the final 2 months of the long Major League Baseball season. And DRS, as we have repeated so many times, it's not the halfway point. We're not at game 81. Every team around the bigs, all 30 clubs, have completed at least 95 of 162. I think you could call it the stretch run more than the second half in Major League Baseball. So on this final day of the All-Star break for everybody, ahead of a full slate Friday tomorrow, an updated MLB pick six. Let's have some fun, shall we?
Man, why not have some fun at this point? We should even got a stinger in at this point right now. The budget should be high. We haven't had to spend any money over the past 4 days because there's been no sports out here. We should have had a nice stinger for the pick six of the second half. You know what I mean? Come on.
That's good. That we should stinger? Do. You know how like sometimes when we used to do bye, we would throw in Lisey's voice on a daily basis. He would go, bye. Like, that should be just the pick six. Can you do it again? We'll need him
through
NFL season.
Before we do that, like, can Lisa pick up extra work at the network now by just, like, doing voiceovers? Like, I'd like to see him back on the network sooner than later at this point right now. But, yeah, the pick six of the second half. You know what I mean? Like, something like that just to get us through. It's a nice stinger to say this is our last day. Because, Ben, autopilot, right? 52 weeks in a year, right? So you take a look and say there's 2 weeks where you can't be on autopilot. It's this week where you really make your money, and then it's Super Bowl week. All outside the other 50 weeks, we can just flip on autopilot and get after it. You can't do that this week. Like, there's other shows on the network that say, mercy, mercy, I can't work Thursday. I'm not a good enough host to work on a Thursday. Find out a little bit later on the show. I'm not going to tip you guys off, but there's a show tonight that's not on because that host said, I don't have anything to talk about for an hour and a half. Now, if you guys know what an hour and a half show looks like, you'll find it later on the network. But I'm just letting you know.
I'm not going to tell you what
it is. Some hosts out here can't work these days. Ben and I, we're here for the people. Always remember that. Always.
Some hosts can't work today. I'm not going to tell you what it is. True. But tonight, an hour and a half show. If anybody is a loyal Sports Grid viewer, they already know what Donnie is talking about. Listen, last couple of Thursdays, we've had to disavow a lot. I disavow that notion that we ever go on autopilot we call out our colleagues and good friends.
Yep.
All right. For the pick six, by the way, here are our six categories. Our World Series prediction, the matchup, and who wins it, along with the price, who ends up as the home run leader in the bigs this year, an award market bet that we like, MVP. Those are pretty strong prices to lay right now.
Yeah.
Cy Young, reliever, manager, rookie. We'll talk in just a moment. An updated win total here at the break for the final 65-plus games of this year. A playoff price that we like and a team to watch. That could be their selling or maybe a long shot to make that playoff push. DRS in the final minute of this segment. We'll continue the pick six for most of this final half hour. I ask for your World Series prediction, my friend. Who's playing in the Fall Classic and who wins that championship?
Yeah, I wanted to have a little bit of fun with this, too, because it's easy just to say, well, the Dodgers will be on the one side, and quite frankly, they just might be on that one side. But for me, I want to look sort of down, like, who can actually catch the Dodgers? Who can perform in the playoffs? Who can be that team that you can get a great price on, but still not say, well, that was the stupidest pick you ever made, Donnie. Why did you go with that team? It's actually the San Diego Padres, and hear me out on this, and I'll start with this. It is always about pitching. Michael King is a really good young pitcher that you got from the New York Yankees. This year's been on the IL, but he's working his way back. And I always say, Ben, sometimes not the additions that you make by making a trade, your best quote-unquote trade, just by getting back some of your better players healthy for the stretch run. King, Cease, Pivetta, Darvish as a 1-4 with a really good bullpen, that can do damage. And I'm not even talking about the lineup that I like that has been underperforming for the first half. If we get back to being average in that lineup, why not the Padres getting there? Why not?
We'll talk more about the pick six at the All-Star break next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A pick six for the second half of this Major League Baseball season on the final day of the MLB All-Star break. DRS, let's dive into it really quickly once again because we are going to start with our World Series predictions and our matchups and who ends up being crowned a World Series champ. Yours is a fun one and one that comes with a very long price of 140 to one if it happens. The Padres over the Yankees. Why do you feel that way here at the end of the All-Star break?
I just wanted to sort of break the mold and say which team can catch a little bit of lightning in a bottle. You take a look at the Yankees. We know they're going to make some changes there. And also they're fighting with a team like the Detroit Tigers who are very good. And also the Houston Astros, which I think can be up there. So I was just looking at a point where it's like, yeah, I could see the Yankees getting there, but I wanted to swing a little bit more for the fences because the San Diego Padres pick, Ben, is the one that's actually going to cash in that bigger part of that 140 to one. There's no guarantees that they even get into the playoffs, let alone make it through the, you know, wild card rounds and the NLCS and all that good stuff. stuff before they even make it to a World Series to possibly play the New York Yankees. But for me, I just look at the Padres and say to myself, that's a team that could have that pedigree. They've been in the playoff mix before. They have superstar players there, a starting pitching staff that can hold up, and also a bullpen that can close out games. And also the thoughts and the whispers of, hey, we would need a guy like a Jarren Duran at the top of that lineup here. They're going to make changes to that lineup here. Yeah. And I just wanted to catch a little, as I said, lightning in a bottle, 141 price, a little bit of a fun bet to root on down the stretch.
They have a lot of talent, DRS, in the offensive 1-9. Manny Machado has had a great year. Fernando Tatis Jr. has been excellent in the outfield. The youngster Jackson Merrill, and of course others that dot that lineup. And more importantly, as you mentioned, the starting staff looks really good on paper with the return of a healthy Yu Darvish and a healthy Michael King alongside Nick pitching Pivetta and Dylan Cease. I'll talk a little bit more about San Diego in a moment. DRS, my World Series prediction on opening day was the Dodgers. And the Tigers. I do believe the Dodgers will eventually be there. The Dodgers won a World Series last year without their top line starting staff. And they dealt with some injuries to that starting rotation in the opening half of the year. But if those guys are back for the second half, and namely October, it's going to be really hard to beat LA. Tyler Glasnow is back. We have talked about Shohei Ohtani working his way back on the bump. Yoshi Yamamoto is an all-star and has looked great. And Donnie, if Roki Sasaki and Blake Snell come back, I'm not even sure what Dave Roberts does with how he formats his pitching staff come the postseason. The Dodgers, I believe, are going to be there. But it's not a great price, of course, on LA either to win a World Series or the National League pennant, because playoff baseball, very different than even the regular season and those expectations. But on opening day, DRS, I had a bet on the Detroit Tigers to win the American League at a 10-1 number. It is not 10-1 any longer. Detroit is the favorite at +260. And I trust a guy that was the Dodgers' ace by the time they got to the World Series in their opening game starter, Jack Flaherty, who is the number two in Detroit and the best pitcher in baseball in Tarek Skubal, to be enough for this young and talented Tiger squad to maybe win a World Series. Why not? Let's have some fun. The Tigers over the Dodgers at a 16-1 price in the Fall Classic.
Motown getting back to a championship round and cutting it down. Hey, by the way, if you can get Flaherty to certainly step up as that number two, you already know you have that number one, and that's half the battle once you get into the playoffs itself. And also, the expectations of the regular season can bleed over into the postseason. Oh, where have we saw that before? Oh, OKC does very good in the regular season. Just wait till they play the better teams in the playoffs, man. They won't be able to hold up. They did. Why can't the Tigers take a page out of OKC and say, no, it is our year. We didn't have a fluke regular season. Let's go out and win this damn thing.
Kind of like the Tigers and the Lions, DRS, both in Motown, both doing things they have not done in a very long time, but continuing that success, even elevating it. The Tigers getting to the playoffs for the first time in a decade last year, winning their first playoff game since 2014 at Comerica Park, hoping to do the same. If they get to the World Series, first appearance since 2012. If they win the World Series, first time in more than four decades since 1984. DRS, the home run leader. Will it be Big Dumper, who has the three homer advantage right now in our Derby champ? Cal Raleigh with 38, three in front of Aaron Judge. Or will playing in the Northwest the remainder of this season when Aaron Judge is up in the Bronx and the other warm weather spots around the American League East down the stretch be too much? DRS, who is going to be the home run champ with the most dingers at the end of 2025?
It's going to be Aaron Judge, and you say, hey, man, I can get Cal Raleigh with a couple home runs plus advantage and a plus money number. Where do I sign up? He might, quite frankly, win that, but I'm just looking at expectations and statistics that could possibly back it up. There's a guy that's looking for yet another 50-plus home run mark in his career. That's not Cal Raleigh. That's Aaron Judge. He knows how to hit volume home runs and has done it multiple times. But also, it just can't be overlooked. Like, the one most impressive feat maybe in Major League Baseball history, if you remove, like, the cream and the clear, was Barry Bonds playing in an unbelievably good pitcher's ballpark and scorching 70-plus home runs with that being his home park there. Now, granted, we understand that you play half your games on the road, but you do play half of your games at home, which could be a detriment. It's not for the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. It's not for playing at Fenway or up in Toronto and now in the beautiful, warm weather city of Tampa Bay in the heat and the elements, or even in Baltimore. You got great hitting cities up and down, which includes your home ballpark. That's an advantage for Aaron Judge. He's used to the spotlight. He's used to being an MVP. He's used to being in New York City and performing well. I can't pass up Aaron Judge winning that home run title once again. I'll take him, Ben, at the minus 140 price.
Yeah, it's fair, DRS, and it's not even all that chalky. Both these guys could be flirting with history. Only one guy since Barry Bonds in 2001 has hit 60-plus homers in a single season. Mm-hmm. His name is Aaron Judge. It happened in 2022. It was 62. It is the American League all-time record. Both on pace for that. Big Dumper on pace for 64. DRS, to your point, and I think one of the reasons the Judge has the minus money price, you do play 81 games at home and 81 games on the road. But the Mariners have played more games away from Seattle, 50 out of their 96, than those in the Northwest so far, 46. That means they will have more home games down the stretch than away games that could work against Cal Raleigh. I'm still going to trust Big Dumper just because I love Big Dumper and I love Cal Raleigh. I'll take the plus money price at plus 110 with a 3-home run advantage. Do I have a strong metric that tells me Cal Raleigh will withstand Aaron Judge? No, except for that he has a 3-home run lead and a much better nickname. An awards market price, DRS, that we like. MVP, as we have talked about at length, if you're going to lay it on the favorites right now, probably not the best number. And Donnie and I both believe that despite Cal Raleigh building the narrative, probably not going to catch Aaron Judge. And despite Pete Crow Armstrong having a historic year as well, more than likely not catching Shohei Ohtani. So not in the MVP races, but elsewhere, DRS, what's the awards bet that you like most on this final day of the All-Star break?
I'm going to go Josh Hader, and we'll take him at a plus money price to be the AL reliever of the year, if you will. In the National League, you know, it's the Padres. You take a look at Robert Suarez with 28 saves total, but there's two guys listed at 25 saves that will battle. That's Josh Hader of the Astros, and also Carlos Estevez for the Royals. And also, when you look at the field, sometimes it comes down to just how many saves you have. Like, you're the reliever of the year. You're going to take a look at ERA. We get that. But also understand this. The same way we talk about in the National League with Zach Wheeler on the mound going up against Paul Skenes, the human element creeps in. One guy's pitching unbelievable, impactful, high-leverage situation games down the stretch and picking up wins. You're going to get a better feel than a guy that's like, hey, Skenes just beat the Cincinnati Reds when there's no meaning to that game whatsoever. So I look at Hader for the Astros, and the expectations for me are high for the second half for the Astros. That goes in lockstep. The more chances the Astros have to win baseball games, the more chances they have to close out situations, and that puts Hader in a pretty positive light as opposed to Carlos Estevez for the Royals, who might not make the playoffs, therefore not pitching in many high-leverage situations expectations down the stretch in September. Give me Josh Hader at the plus 120 price for the AL Reliever Award. How about that?
I like that look, DRS. The NL reliever of the year favorite is Edwin Diaz. He's been lights out for the New York Mets, but only has 19 saves in comparison to San Diego's Robert Suarez. Edwin Diaz this year is 4-0. He doesn't have a loss. Suarez has 4. I'm not so sure if Edwin Diaz has a blown save. We can check that as we come back on the other side of the break. He did blow the save in the All-Star game, but at least through this regular season, he has won this year. We'll talk more about our pick six of the All-Star break next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. It's time to continue with the
pick six of the second half.
There you go. Indeed it is, DRS. Yeah. Let's break it down. Final day of the All-Star break. That our animation stinger to get you excited for the entirety of what we have here in the pick six. We were talking about those relievers. Again, Edwin Diaz, a minus 175 favorite in the National League to win reliever of the year. Despite Robert Suarez of San Diego having 9 more saves, Diaz only 19, only one blown save for Diaz, and does so in emphatic fashion with plenty more Ks this year. DRS, my award best bet is Zach Wheeler at minus 125 to win NL Cy Young. I still think you can bet that number despite Wheeler now being the favorite. Probably would have been better a few weeks ago at a much longer number when Paul Skenes was the minus money favorite. But I think the odds are only going to increase to back Wheeler. We have talked about it. Skenes has the best ERA in baseball, but Wheeler has been lights out. Skenes' individual performance certainly worthy of consideration. Wheeler's is as well. And then Wheeler is the ace for a team in a pennant race trying to win a division. I think at the end of the day, come September, that is going to be a stronger price than even now of 20 cents of difference between these two guys. But I do have to say, you and I kind of fudged up, my friend. We should have had at least one of us with an award best bet on our guy, Jacob Wilson, or Nick Kurtz of the Athletics to win American League Rookie of the Year. Wilson, the all-star starter at shortstop for the American League on Tuesday night in Atlanta. Now even money, plus 100. Still love that look.
Yeah, rooks are tough, though. That's the problem with it, right? Like, it's just so fleeting sometimes. Like, oh, they're on top of the mountain, and then they're back in AAA out of nowhere. It's like, oh, there goes my ticket in my back pocket. They're the tough ones here. They're the real coin flips. So we're trying to give the people those expectations of what you can actually sink their teeth into. That's what we're giving them, Ben.
All right, DRS, let's fly through our final through of the pick six for the second half. Here with our favorite win totals now updated at the break. DRS, that's a little bit of home cooking if I do say so myself, my friend.
Yeah, let me explain myself. I don't really handicap team totals. So why not take one for the team right here? Be like, let me just root for my own team at 93.5 right now to go over to make it 94. See what I mean? Like, there's no handicap on this one. Like, you know, like, I don't lie to the people. Like, hey, I looked at their schedule. Yeah. I don't even know who they play coming out of the break, let alone what their win total is supposed to be. Just give me the Phillies, man. Come on.
Man, I love that for you, right? I love you. Can never question Donnie's authenticity. Mm-mm. That is for sure, right? He will even say things that he probably shouldn't as the host of a sports show, but he did right there. DRS, you're well on your way to get an over 93.5. Of course, Philadelphia, a half game lead in the NL East, 55-41 at a break. And the Phils are at home at the bank to open up the second half this weekend against the Angels. Jesus Luzardo and the Phils, a minus 205 favorite. Tomorrow, we should be just adding it up. I did a small bit of handicapping on the Houston Astros, liking their win total to the over of 92.5. Houston has 56 wins so far this year. Had they not lost five of their last six right before the All-Star break, they would have been even closer, and that win total would have been elevated. But Houston, since June, still 25-13. Playing better baseball. Their starting pitching looks great. Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, and we are still awaiting the return of Yordan Alvarez. And in terms of schedules, DRS, for the second half, Houston has the second easiest based on the win-loss record of their projected opponents for the second half in all of the bigs. So I go over 92.5 for the Astros, who I think are going to run away with the American League West.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Look, I don't have any issues with that whatsoever. I'm looking at a team that's supposed to be heading down the stretch and getting better because you're adding a superstar back in that lineup as a hitter and a very good pitcher there, and maybe make a move at the deadline to even bolster that bullpen even more. I like the direction of the Astros right now. You're sort of buying under right now, even though they're in first place, and they maybe could have got a better price a couple weeks ago when they're still floundering, but that's a team to buy on and certainly look forward to watching in the second half.
All right, DRS, a playoff team that we expect to be there. Who are you looking at to make the postseason in either league?
Yeah, we'll keep it in Texas again. And this is sort of a double down to starting the season where the expectations for me, the Rangers possibly could make it to the World Series. Boy, they haven't played to their expectations, but they haven't played bad baseball as of late. Only one game back of crossing over the 500 mark. And if they do that and Corey Seager playing better baseball and them just staying healthy, there's too much talent on that team. Like Nathan Eovaldi healthy for the second half. Jacob deGrom pitching like he always thought he could as a front end rotation guy. What's to say that the Rangers can't make it to the playoffs? We're not even a minus money price anymore. You take a look at a plus 330 on the Rangers to make the playoffs. I'll take a flyer on that.
I love it, DRS. And it kind of goes and correlates with my team to watch, which is Texas as well. Now, the Rangers have a more difficult schedule than most coming down the home stretch. Sixth hardest in all of MLB. But right now, DRS, Texas, where it stands, they're only 3.5 back of a wild card spot.
Yeah.
And the Rangers are trailing a team in their own division, the Seattle Mariners, by 3.5 games for that third and final wild card spot. There's only one team sandwiched in between Texas and Seattle as well with that 3.5 game difference, and it is the Tampa Bay Rays. The RS, my playoff team is the San Diego Padres. Right now, that third wild card team, a half game in front of their divisional mates in the San Francisco Giants. And for all the reasons you think the Padres can win a World Series are all the reasons I think San Diego will solidify that spot as a wild card team in the second easiest schedule in the National League post All-Star break. DRS, your team to watch is who?
It's going to be the Rays. You can't quit this team. And we don't even know their household names at this point. Multiple all-stars, though, looking to step up on the biggest stage, playing in a nice environment that you bet them on team totals. You bet the game total to be over, hitting props on the Rays. That's a team I want to watch because, number one, they're fun to bet on. They play in a great atmosphere. And number two, I think there's a legitimate chance they have a chance and a path to make it to the playoffs. 50-47 on the season. Give me a good second half here, Tampa. I'll be watching.
DRS, it should be noted, we talked about the Rangers. You think they can make the playoffs a plus 330 place. I think that is worth it. 3.5 games back of who? The Mariners, the divisional foes. You play 13 games against your divisional teams each and every year. Texas has already played Seattle 9 times. The Rangers are 2-7. They are going to lose that regular season tiebreaker battle, just should be noted, if it comes down to it, for wild card spots. DRS, enjoy Moneyline, man. Power through the final day of Hump Week. More of the Early Line next. We'll talk tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out our 3 hours together live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. A quick update at the Open Championship. Scottie Scheffler, 3-under par, had a putt on 18, his final hole of the day to tie the co-leaders at 4-under. Those guys right now still Matt Fitzpatrick, Hao Tong Lee, and Jacob Skov-Olesen all at 4-under. More than likely, as Scottie tidies up his par putt, that is very close to the cup. He will end his opening round with a 3-under par 68. Again, par 71 at Royal Portrush. Know that for any of your round over under score bets as well. How about the native Northern Irishman, Rory McIlroy? Bogeyed his first, birdied his second. Rory back to even par. Scotty is at 3-under. Some familiar names. Some veterans dot the leaderboard early as well. Lee Westwood, 2-under. Sergio Garcia, 2-under. Phil Mickelson, 1-under. John Rahm, a 1-under 70 as well. And how about Victor Hovland, who eagled that par 5 second hole? He is 2-under early on in his opening round. Plenty to continue to bring you across the Open Championship, golf's oldest major, the 153rd playing of it, the fourth and final this year throughout the remainder of this week. Plus 210, Scottie Scheffler, who was plus 450 entering the tournament, but after an opening round, 3-under 68, only one shot back of the leaders. Of course, a very short price at plus 210 live right now. Rory's second best number at 8-1. Again, he is even, only two holes in to his opening round. It is the first day at the Open Championship. It is the fourth and final at SEC Media Days in Atlanta. Our four teams at the podium meeting the media and reporters today: Texas A&M, Missouri, Arkansas, and Kentucky. These teams not necessarily expected to contend for a conference crown. Maybe A&M, your number two under Mike Elko, as they will be back in College Station this year. Just to clear some things up, by the way, when you look at A&M, there's been some reports about Shamar Stewart, drafted 17th overall by the Bengals, has not signed and is the only first-round rookie to not sign that new contract. He's been back working out in College Station with A&M. Might he play this year for the Aggies? If you're drafted in the NFL, even if you don't sign your contract and re-enter the draft, which is a potential for Shamar Stewart, you can't just play once again in college football. Now, he could sue for extra eligibility, as basically everybody has tried against the NCAA, but more than likely that would be a long legal battle that would not be resolved before this year anyway. Just thought I would say. But A&M does have some talent defensively, and of course, Marcel Reed, who was a true freshman last year at the quarterback spot, now that true starter once again for the Aggies. Their win total, 7.5. Their price to win the SEC is 15-1. Not one of the longer ones. It's top 10 right now around the conference. The Aggies, a difficult slate. Everybody in the SEC, you'll hear this constantly, has a hard schedule. But in comparing the 16 teams in this conference, who has the easiest one? That's Missouri. 7.5 the win total for Eli Drinkwitz and his Tigers. A consistently successful program under the Drinkman in Columbia. Of course, last year there was a lot of hope because of returning talent. Brady Cook, Luther Burden, Theo Weiss. Well, Brady Cook is gone. Luther Burden is gone. But Missouri was aggressive in the transfer portal, adding the backup at Penn State and a wonderful athlete in Bo Perbula, who of course made some headlines as he hit the transfer portal, left Penn State before their CFP run. Don't blame Perbula. Blame the scheduling of everything in college football. It is now the signal caller for Mizzou. 7.5 that win total for the Tigers, but the easiest schedule in the SEC entering 2025. What do Sam Pittman and the Hogs have in 2025? 5.5 the win total for Arkansas. Not often do we see Kentucky and Mark Stoops with a win total of 4.5. Last year, Kentucky was a 4-8 football team. They were favored a ton, at least early in the year. They were atrocious. Not only could they not cover as the favored side, they would just lose games outright when booked as a favorite. 4.5 the win total for the Cats. Again, last year, 4-8. But in the previous 8 years under Stoops, he had kind of reinvigorated the football program at the basketball school in Lexington. They had reached a bowl game all 8 years, and in the 7 full seasons in that 8-year run prior to 2024, at least 7 wins and at least 6 in the regular season. So maybe it's a sign of the times for the Wildcats to have a win total of 4.5. That does it for us on this Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow on a Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern time here on the grid. We'll talk to you then.